the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word today. We hope you're having a good Tuesday. We're going to be a little different in the first segment. Alex is going to be joining us in the second segment. He had tied up for a little bit, but he didn't want to miss the whole program. So we said, hey, let's do it that way. So he'll be joining us. So I want to tell you about two or three things, and then we'll jump into 1 Peter. We're going to start in verse 20, and then we're getting into chapter 3 with the relationships of husband and wife. So I think it'll be good and practical today. So stay with us. But I want to first say thanks to Jim Stanley, who came in yesterday and first time in months that he's been able to be with us on Exploring the Word. You heard about it, the illness that he had and the recovery that he is experiencing, and we're just praising the Lord. And I'm just tell you, the Exploring the Word crew was excited to have Jim back with us, and we want you to keep on praying for Jim, and what a dear friend he is to us. And the other two things I wanted to share, we still have a few spaces available for our fishbowl retreat that we have. We have it at Pickwick Landing State Park. That's on the Tennessee River. And if you would like to register, by the way, let me give you the dates. It's October the 28th, 29th, and 30th. And again, that's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It starts at lunch Tuesday. Lunch will be fed there, and then it ends Thursday at lunch as you take your lunch with you. It's a to-go box that you can go and head out, so you don't have to leave so early. You'll have your lunch with you. But we'll be studying about be strong and courageous. Now, my wife and I, we started Fishbowl close to 30 years ago now, and when we came to AFR, Tim said, won't you bring Tim Wildman, our president, saying, bring Fishbowl with you. And we've done that, and it's been a great opportunity for pastors and their wives as we want to strengthen their marriage and their life. And this year, it's be strong and courageous. And Alex McFarland's going to be with us. He and Angie are coming down to share and be in this time. But the reason we chose this is because we knew in your family, in your life, and even in the pulpit, we need to be strong and courageous and caring and loving. And so that's going to be our theme. We've got one or two surprises for you that if you'll come. So go to repairingthefoundations.net. That's repairingthefoundations.net. Make it plural, or you'll just have to learn to fix the foundation of your house if you make it just singular. But repairingthefoundations.net, register. And again, we don't have very many more rooms available, but they are available right now, and pastors and wives would love to see you there. The other thing that I wanted to share with you, again, we're doing this because Alex will be joining us at the break, is the partnership of iVoter Guide with Christians Engaged. This is because just about like last year with Ballotpedia, they keep up with those that are voting. It said that three-fourths of the races that they covered there in 2024, there were races that they covered. They were mainly, a lot of them were uncontested. And again, uncontested, three-fourths of all the races, uncontested. So we're starting with the kind of the low area. When I say low, the small areas, and one of those areas is the area of school board members. 286 school board races that iVoter Guide evaluated last year in 2024, a third of them had no conservative candidate. So with iVoter Guide and with the education that Christians Engaged provide, we are having four Wednesday evenings, October the 15th through November the 5th, for online training. You can go to online training and go to iVoterGuide.com events, and they'll have experts there to tell you how to campaign as a Christian, how how to get out and deal with voters and the media, even raising support. So you can find help there. We need godly Christian statesmen all over the spectrum in this Republic of the United States of America, where we can shine light into dark places. So if you would, and you're interested, go to ivoterguide.com/events and find out about if this is a possibility with you, that you could run for a office, especially those that we're talking about, the school board, because we want to make a difference there, and the possibility is real. So make that a priority with you and pray about it and see if God would have you to be one of those people that is active in our political process. And we're praying that you would respond. Well, let's get to the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 2. Jim and Alex went through basically about verse 19, but I want to start in verse 20, and it reads it this way because I really want to connect it with verse 21 and 22. For what credit is it if, when you're beaten for your faults, in other words, if you've done something wrong, you should expect discipline, punishment. You should take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. In other words, in this world, you're going to have difficulties, tribulation. Expect that. Don't think, okay, if I've accepted Christ as my Savior, it's going to be smooth sailing if I stay in the will of God. No, if you remember the Apostle Paul, he was sent out on 3 missionary journeys, and many times he wound up being beaten, even taken out of town thinking he was dead. And listen, no, just because difficulty comes your way does not mean you're out of the will of God. It may be that you're in the will of God. And so you look at the Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, it's one of my favorite chapters. I know it's the Hall of Fame of Faith. And the first few verses through 32, it talks about all these men and women who by faith were delivered, who saw victory. But after that, it tells you those who were still living by faith, it says they suffered great consequences. You live by faith, trust in God, and you let God bring on what he needs out of you. And here it says you can expect suffering. So just know that you are expected. And then verse 21, it says, for to do this, you were called. You were called to follow Christ. Jesus came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. He was rejected. He was put upon a cross. So here it says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us. Listen, that is some comment that Jesus would suffer for us. He really did, so that we could have life, leaving us an example. Now, listen, a lost person doesn't need an example. A sinner who cannot save themselves does not need an example, because we couldn't follow it if we tried. We need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Now, after we've been saved and we've been born again, we're to follow Christ's example. Now, what example was that? Listen to it carefully. In the garden, when he was faced with the cross before him, and he prayed, Father, if it be your will, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That is the example of Christ. There's no higher example than Jesus following through and going all the way to the cross. And here in this verse, in verse 21, it says, you should follow his steps. Do the will of the Father, wherever it is. There's a truck sometimes, 18-wheeler. I don't know the name of the company, so I can't go there, don't want to go there, but I know their slogan on the back of their truck, any place, anytime, anything, we deliver. Now, that got my attention because when I was around 20 years old, I was in a Bible camp in Louisiana, and for those that might have done this, memorize scripture, through the Bible Memory Association, and you could go to what was called Miracle Camp. That was in Ringgold, Louisiana, where I was. And the pastor there, I remember it as well, he was challenging us as young people, college students, high school students, are you willing to do the will of God? And he challenged us to write those three words, anything, anywhere, anytime, Lord, I'm willing. I remember writing them down, and I did say, Lord, I am willing. And I want to tell you, it is a full surrender. I haven't lived up to it because I've argued ever so often when he would tell me to do some things. But Lord, I want that to be the theme of my life, that anything you tell me to do, I will do. And here it is. It says you should follow this in his steps. In his steps. You know that's a great book that was written, okay? And we want to follow in his steps of obedience to the will of the Father. Now listen to what Jesus did, who committed no sin, for no guile found in his mouth. This is taken from Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, written 800 years before Christ would come on this earth. Isaiah told us about our Messiah that would be coming and following and doing the will of the Father. Now listen to verse 23. It doesn't quit. He continues adding it on how we should follow his steps. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who did he commit himself? The Father. What he did before the cross and on the cross, he was doing the will of his Father. And that's what it says. It says that he did this to him who judges righteously. In your decisions, this is who you want to please, not others, but God himself. I was talking to someone this morning, earlier today, and some information got out that was wrong. And, you know, how do you correct it? Sometimes you can't. But I tell you, if you pleased God, it does not matter what men might say. If I'm pleasing God, I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. This is your desire. That is following in Jesus' steps. Can you imagine when Jesus entered heaven after becoming our sacrifice? I guarantee you, he was excited about it and ready to follow the Lord. And he was seated at the right hand of the Father. Seated because he had completed the job the Father had sent him to do. This is what we want to do. We want to be saved, and then we want to complete the task that God's given us, that we follow in his steps. One more verse, and we'll read it, and Alex will be with us in the second segment, so we'll set this up, verses 24 and 25. Who himself, Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. Verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Listen, we're going to find out what we have in Christ, what he's done for us, what he's doing for us, and what he will do for us. This is Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Dr. Alex McFarland, and Alex will join us in the second segment as we continue in 1 Peter.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
I've seen shame, the kind that comes from mistakes, the kind that won't go away. When I turned around, they were right there to remind me. I've seen regret, the kind that messes with your head, the failures and the can't forgets. But standing here now, I'm thanking God it's behind me. 'Cause I've seen nail-scarred hands reach out and wipe it all away.
Yeah. Amen. Now those nail-scarred hands reaching out to every one of us. Mistakes, regrets, guilt, it's all washed away when we come to Jesus. Well, welcome back to Exploring the Word. We are in 1 Peter, wrapping up chapter 2 there. And Bert, I was listening to your voice there in the closing seconds of segment 1. I love that verse 24-25. Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, that's a reference, as we know, from Isaiah 53:5. But see, he took the stripes and the pain, and we're forgiven through what he did on the cross. For you were as sheep going astray, but you are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You know, Bert, the New Testament has a lot of names and terminology for Jesus: Lord, Messiah, Christ, God, Son of Man, Son of God. But here, and as far as I know, this is the only appearance of it, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. That's a great title for our Lord and Savior, isn't it?
It is. It's fantastic. Now, the reason I believe this is so emphatic is because, going back to verse 24, who himself bore our sin. Now, this is important. No one else could. You remember what Hebrews said, the blood of goats and bulls, you know, they cannot take away sin. They were an atonement. They were a covering until the washing could take place. The only washing of the sins away was through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 24, and I think this is really emphatic, Alex, who himself did it. No one else could. He was the one. It's kind of reminded me of like in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve, quote, was married. It said that God brought Eve to Adam. In other words, he was the, quote, the father of the bride. And then he joined them together. He was there. He was the best man. God did this. He's the one that initiated marriage and brought it about between a man and a woman. And here, only Jesus Christ could go to the cross, bearing our sins in his own tree. Now, this tree, it says, and let me make sure, Deuteronomy 21:23, it talks about somebody being hung on a tree. Only the most vicious criminals was to be hung on a tree. The others would be stoned, but Jesus hung on the tree. Now, again, it was the Romans doing this. It was the crucifixion. But then it says even though they were the most vicious, their body was to be taken down that very day. And that's why it was so important after Jesus died that those men and women got Jesus off the cross, put him into the tomb. And that was so important, again, fulfilling scripture. And that, I could not help, he himself, he not only was a sacrifice, but he was the shepherd and bishop. The word bishop means overseer. Yeah. Overseer. That helps me more than bishop. If you want to know I put it this way. It really registers with me. He's the overseer of our soul, Alex. He's watching over us. He's caring for us. He's not just throwing us out there and saying sink or swim. No, he is overseer of our soul, man. What a Savior, Alex.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, let me say that Jesus was crucified on the cross. In verse 24, sometimes the Jehovah's Witnesses have said that it wasn't a cross, but it was a stake. Well, really, the word there, there are two variants, X-Y-L-O-N and X-U-L-O-N, Xylon or Zulon, but it really does mean a cross of wood.
made from a tree, right?
Yeah, it was made from a tree, but it was a cross.
Right.
And I've said this many times, Bert, I feel like that's such an appropriate symbol because in Jesus, you had perfect deity intersecting with humanity. You had righteousness intersecting with sin and guilt. You had eternity coming onto the stage of time. I mean, the intersection of the holy and the fallen, and law was fulfilled, yet grace was manifested. Such a perfect symbol there. And the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Now, as we segue into First
Alex,
Peter
let me make one comment before we go into chapter 3, if you don't mind. I was reading this, and I don't know where it came from, but I wanted to share it. It's the paradoxes of the cross, and what you said made me think of it. Christ was wounded that we may be healed. He died that we might live. We die with him, and we are dead to sin so that we might live under righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cross is amazing. I just wanted to
go along
with what you said and say amen, brother.
Amen, amen. Well, so here's this wonderful passage on redemption, crucifixion, atonement. If I was writing First Peter and I'm on a roll here, I don't know that I would go where it goes next. And yet, I think there's a real reason for this. Chapter 3 begins, it says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." In other words, godly wives, you will win him with your ways, your godliness. Now, Bert, before we go in here, there's a couple of things I want to say. Don't you think it's ironic a little bit that, you know, there's this beautiful, just august statement of salvation in the cross, and then suddenly it changes to the relationships of husbands and wives. Although this is one of the reasons the devil has so vehemently attacked marriage and family in our times, because marriage and family is a picture of Christ in the church.
Amen.
Marriage and family is a picture of the gospel. So, it makes sense. But when you close out 1 Peter 2 and get straight into 1 Peter 3, does it strike you as a little ironic and unusual?
It does. He uses one word to make the transition, though. A lot of times when you have when you have this voluminous of our redemption and then go into the practicality of marriage, okay, I got to, you know, you're a speaker, you're a preacher, making that segue, okay, I got to do this in a paragraph or two. Now, one word, doesn't this strike right with Peter? No, one word would do it. And he says, likewise. In other words, Jesus was submissive to the Father and bore our sins. He's saying, wives, you have a great calling. You have a great Savior who is what? The shepherd and overseer of your souls. Likewise, you show this same spirit, Alex, this same attitude. Likewise, that word, like that, I know sometimes one word, okay, but in studying the Word of God, sometimes that one word of transition, either so, okay, this is completely different, or this is likened unto. This is one of those likened unto's, isn't it?
Yeah. And Bert, you make a great point. The word likewise, in other words, in a similar vein or in a similar way. And as you all know, folks, the chapter divisions weren't originally in there, but Stephanos, the man that put in the verse numbers and the chapter divisions, this is a perfect place for, as we say in writing, a page break. a page break. So it sort of changes gears. And basically, Christian wives are to obey unsaved husbands and ultimately win them to Christ. Now, I don't mean obedience in terms of enduring physical or verbal abuse, breaking the law or denying Christ, not like that. But I'm saying getting along with and respecting. And we've had people call in, Bert, and you and I, the second book we ever did about 100 Questions for Families, there's right much in there about healthy conflict resolution in the family, because we've had men call in that their wife was not a believer and they were. We've had women call in and the wife might have been a follower of Jesus and the husband was not. And how beautiful it is when husband and wife are, you know, on the same page in terms of following Christ. But, and Bert, I think this might be one of the hardest mission fields, the godly wife ministering and respecting an unsaved husband. Now, the Spirit will give strength to do that, but that's a ministry that would not be easy to do without the help of Christ.
I believe it would be one of the hardest. And notice here, and the King James says conversation, and you said it's their conduct. Be won by the conduct. In other words, what you're doing here, when they observe your chaste conduct, your good conduct, your even-handed conduct accompanied by fear, that is respect, the respect. Do not let your beauty be outward adorning, arranging the hair, or wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. There it is. You're not going to win them. It doesn't mean that you don't dress accordingly and dress nice, and especially for your husband, and do that, but that's not what's going to show up the eternality of the internal, okay? The eternality of the internal change that's taken place, let that be seen. How? Through your conduct. In other words, it's not going to be the nagging of your words. It's not going to be having exploring the word on just so your husband can hear it because he's lost and you turn it up real loud. Listen, that might drive them further away, but your conduct and loving them, respecting them, find a way to respect them. Find an area of their life that you, if you can possibly respect them, do that. And this is the winning of that mate, isn't it, Alex? That's what, this is a soul winning class, you'd say, would you not?
It is, and it's just the way we carry ourselves. And I think about, and I've seen this, I've seen women that were so godly and so full of the Holy Spirit, and what a powerful witness that is, not only to a family member or husband, but really to the watching world. Like 3 and 4, their beauty is not some outward adornment, but verse 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart. Now, M-A-N, masculine pronoun used in a generic sense here. In other words, the person you are, the inner you. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, here's the thing. Holiness, being led by the Spirit, the inner person, which is the real you, which doesn't get old and wrinkled. You know.
Amen. Good point.
I mean, incorruptible. Now, a meek and quiet spirit, which is, in the sight of God, of great price. I got to tell you, and we're living in a time as the Cal Thomas, the writer, the Christian columnist, wrote, a time of explicitness. I want to tell you what is striking and powerful and just riveting and, yes, beautiful. A woman of God that has this composure and joy as led by the Holy Spirit. But I've been in a lot of churches, so have you, and you'll see these saints of God. Sometimes they're elderly and aged, and yet there is a poise and a beauty that Amen. Just is unmistakable. And it's the life of a woman, and she's walked with Jesus for decades.
Amen.
That is unforgettable, isn't it?
Amen, Alex. And when you were saying that, different ladies that I've had the privilege of being their pastor and knowing them, they came straight to my mind. How, you know, that mm-hmm. that you can't take away. The inward finally comes out. It comes out in their facial expression. It comes out in their words, and it comes forth what's in the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. So if those things are inward, that inward conduct, it comes outward. For yes. in manner in former times, we'll try to get through verse 6 if we can, at least read it. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husband. That means finding their rank and where you work best. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, yes, let's get out of town. Where to? I don't know. God's going to show us. Okay, I'll follow you. Calling him Lord. He said, okay, you're in leadership. I'm going to follow you. Whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Alex, that woman, she's in the Hall of Fame of Faith. And where was she? She found her place where she worked best. I think that's good for everybody to find your place where you work best. If you're a private in the Army, you'd better not act like a general.
Wow, a powerful word. And the godly women of today, saying they are daughters of Sarah, you know?
Amen.
Now, let's go back to the word we began with, the word likewise. And verse 7 begins, likewise, you husbands. Okay, so men, if you're amening Peter here, who's preaching at the women, just hang on, because Peter has a word for you too, men. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Bert, tomorrow, let's really unpack that.
We'll do it. You want to get it all in the same day. We couldn't, so tune in tomorrow. Hey, that number, 888-589-8840.
As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing.
That song means it's day of prayer here on Exploring the Word. And so we want you, if you have a prayer request or a praise, we accept praises here that what God has done in your life, and we celebrate that, what God has done. You can call this number, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Alex, you ready to go to the phone lines?
Let's do that. And this is also the day of prayer, folks.
It is.
Bible questions, but also prayer requests.
Let's go to John in West Virginia. John, thank you for calling.
Yes, I need to ask for prayer for myself. I've been in extreme back pain all day.
Okay, brother. Mm. Has this been going on all on off and on, or is this new for you, John?
No, this is not new. I'm in a nursing home right now, and I've been taking pills, and I changed pills, so I need
Okay, brother. My mother-in-law said this, John, and I don't know if it'll help or not, but she's gone to be of glory. But as she got older, she told my wife, Jan, and myself, said, growing old's not for sissies. It's tough. And aches and pains seem like they come, and they're compounded when you're older, and one pain compounds another. So we're going to be praying. So those of you that are prayer warriors out there, John's in a nursing home up in West Virginia. We're praying for him today. Alex, would you mind leading us in prayer for John first, brother?
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, as we just read from Isaiah 53:5, by your stripes we're healed. And Lord, not only do you give us salvation, but you give us grace for living. And I pray for my brother John. Lord, reach in there, that body that you made, the muscles in his back, the lower back, and the spine, and You know, as life goes on, there are just a lot of things, pinched nerves and compressed vertebrae and all that kind of stuff. Ease his back pain. In the name of Jesus, I pray relief would come. And Lord, by your touch and by the good medical care that I'm hopeful he's getting, Lord, let the pain be minimized, taken away completely, even we would ask. Have mercy on our brother. And give John some relief. In Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. John, thank you for calling. You've blessed us by asking us to pray for you. Let's go to Oklahoma. Dean, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your show and appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you.
I do have a question for each of you. If there was only one study Bible, and I mean to get down to the nuts and bolts, I hear you laughing. I'm wanting a good, solid word breakdown. Get in there and study it down to the bottom. Each of you, could you answer me your favorite study Bible?
Alex, you go first on this one. I got mine. I don't know if it'd be the same or not, but you go first.
Well, you know, I love study Bibles. I love Bibles. I've got a lot of Bibles here. And, you know, it's hard to say one. I'm going to show you one right here. I'm going to hold this up. And some of you may not have ever heard of this. It's called the Rice Reference Bible. Now, this Bible is out of print. Let me see if I can get it on the camera here. Bert, did you ever hear of John R. Rice?
Sword of the Lord. You better believe it.
Now, this was published by Thomas Nelson, the John R. Rice Study Bible, and there are just tons of notes. And Jerry Falwell endorsed it. Now, this is out of print. And whenever it shows up on eBay, it's usually $75 or $100. This is really, really good, and there are Bert. I have to tell you, 25 years of reading the John R. Rice Study Bible majorly prepared me for exploring the Word. Honestly, people have said all these cross references that the Old Testament prophesies Jesus. Bert, a huge part of what I learned reading the John R. Rice Study Bible. I just did. But the other thing I gotta say, I gotta name two. Okay, Henry Morris was the founder of CRI, Creation Research Institute, and he was a Dr. Henry Morris. He did a study Bible called the Defender's Study Bible. If you Google it, you'll find it. It's still in print. The Defender Study Bible. And Bert, it is full of apologetics, and it probably has the best exegesis of the book of Genesis and Job of any study Bible out there. So, for one, the John R. Rice Study Bible, the other is the Henry Morris Defender's Study Bible.
Well, let me give you the one that I'm going to hold up. You've held yours up. I'm going to do that, too, see if Marty can zoom in on it. I have to open it so you can see it. But it's the New Open Bible, and mine's open. But it is awesome. It gives you an introductory part to every book in the Bible. It will give you the theme of Jesus being the theme of that book, the verses that are most important. And listen, I found it. It's the one I use here. I've got two Bibles that I use. One's here, always in my office. It's this one. And a matter of fact, the American Family Association gave me this Bible when I was on the board 20-something years ago, and amen. I'm still using it, not knowing when I got it I would use it on Exploring the Word. And the other one I have at home, and I have that study Bible there. But listen, the New Open Bible, and I got the New King James Version. The reason I love that, like Alex said, bishops, and that means overseer. I found out when I used the New King James Version, it's still accurate, does use the same, the manuscripts that they use, but they put it a little bit different. I don't have to explain what bishop means. It says overseer. So I'm making a little bit of push for the New King James because I do love it. and always had trouble with runneth and filleth and thy and thine anyway. So this helps. But the New Open Bible. Thank you, Dean. Good question. And Alex
great
and I
question.
Took time to answer that. Hope you enjoy it. Rob in Arkansas. Rob, thank you for calling.
Hey, Bert and Alex. Good to talk to you guys again. Hey, my daughter, Sariana, she's 19 years old. She's in the hospital right now in Little Rock. And after what she thought was back pain since May, they just discovered today that she has a 17-millimeter kidney stone that's doing somersaults in her kidney, and that they have to surgically remove it.
Okay. Man, that hurts thinking about it, Rob. I know you're in pain. A dad with her daughter. Did you say, what's her name? Give it to it. Spell it, so I'll make sure I spell it right.
C-I-E-R-I-A-N-A, Sariana.
Sariana. Is it all right if I pray for her, Alex?
Yes, please do, brother.
Father, I thank you for this dad. Man, godly dads and the difference they make in a family cannot be understood above eternity. And I thank you for Rob calling out for his daughter's help right now. Sariana, we pray that they would be able to relieve that, find that before it does. I know the pain's there. We don't know the damage, but Father, we're praying that the damage has been minimized. We're praying that they can find it and crush it, deliver her from this. And Father, that you would just get all the glory. I thank you that they have been able to find it. And now we're praying for the procedure that would take place in getting rid of that. And Father, we just ask this and believe it and trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Rob, keep in touch with us. We want to hear. We just believe in it's going to turn out good. We're praying for you. Thank you, brother, so much. Let's go to Texas. Eric in Texas, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. Let the Lord bless you and keep you. And I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I'd like to ask that God lift up our leadership in Washington, D.C., and that they reach a continuing resolution to keep the government running. And that's my prayer, sir.
Amen. Alex, I keep up with it, but not like you do. I think this would be a good thing for you to pray. I've kept up with it, and we're asking God to do something miraculous. But those that hold to the, I say, conservative, strict view, they don't need to give in either. So it's a hard battle. So we're praying that something would occur that would be helpful. Alex?
And also, let me encourage people kind of long-term to be praying for the midterm elections.
Yes.
Because really, folks, I'm not overstating it, the saving of our country hangs in the balance, our constitutional republic. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this caller who's reminded us that we are, as the Bible says, to pray for kings, for those in authority, that we may lead a peaceable life in all godliness. Lord, I pray for our president and his cabinet and for their safety and wisdom, that your Holy Spirit would lead them. And I know that you are leading them. And I, from everything I know, from many people on the inside, that this is a cabinet of people that pray to Jesus and they look to you, Lord, for guidance. And I pray that our government would not shut down. And Lord, those that are on the side of the left, and not just a difference of opinion, but frankly, those that deny morality, deny marriage, they kill babies, they do not believe in the rule of law. They open the borders. They coddle criminals. They empower terrorists. They fight against Israel and our constitutional system of government itself. Lord, I pray that they would come to know you and they would get on the side of the truth and the right. But please do not let malicious people, just to be contrary, shut down our nation, subvert our Constitution, and oppose our president. Lord, we need your help. We're asking that you intervene and save our nation, that we can live out your great commission. Have mercy on America. Revive, restore, and use this country. And like the caller said, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6. And we pray that your name would be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Alex. Let's go to North Dakota and talk to Jim. Jim, thank you for calling.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking the call. Your Bible series today was right on. I needed that talk about the husbands and wives and that whole area. And so we've been married 50 years. And a number of years ago, about 1983, I finally learned who Jesus Christ was. We were married in the Catholic Church. So subsequently, we go to separate churches together, okay? She goes to the Catholic Church, and I'm in a Bible-believing church, and sometimes we don't connect. The last thing that was really tricky was when Charlie Kirk was killed, martyred. And she told me that he was a bigot. He didn't, I'll get this right, he believed that women were subservient and they were basically that he didn't put women in a good light. And then also some other things, some falsehoods you hear from like networks that we get on the news, the fake news. So I have to fight with that. So with myself, I've learned that just stop and don't argue. Amen. Don't fight it. I have to just walk away and go with the Holy Spirit. And just, it takes a lot of self-discipline to not fight that.
Jim, we're going to pray for you. Yes, we do. I wrote down, I saw a little bit what you were saying, and this is what I found out, Alex, and we need to do this quick because I would do, if we have time, get one more caller. But the greater the difference, the greater the difficulty. In other words, there needs to be a little bit difference. If you exactly the same, now you both need to be born again. That's a gift. But if you're exactly the same, that means your strengths and your weaknesses are the same. And they say, well, that's good for strengths. No, strengths always compete. Weaknesses are doubled. So you do, God gives us a little bit difference. But in that great difference, I think that's a wise thing. Would you say we need to pray for him? Yeah. But walking away, sometimes you got to, don't you, Alex?
You do, and let me say we're living in a time of the battle of presuppositions and assumptions, basic, closely held beliefs, and their feminism. I want to tell you what has brought more sadness and stress and dissatisfaction and unhappiness into the hearts of women has been feminism, and so. Hey, love your wife and pray for your wife, role model godliness. But even within families, we're in a battle of assumptions that this secular world has drilled into people.
It really has. Well, we're going to get Boots from, of all places, Texas. Boots, you don't have a lot of time. Go right ahead with your comment, brother.
Hey, thank you very much. Good to talk with you guys again. Going back to Bible translations, I just have one comment. I lived in Turkey, got into archaeology when I was with NATO as an army officer. I got a Bible called the Archaeological Bible, which I think is tremendous. It's not the one, it's not the best study Bible per se, but it explains so much of what's in the Bible and brings out what was going on and what it meant in terms of the times.
Boots, thank you. Time is running. Thank you for that. Listen, that's the reason it's hard to nail down to one. That's what Alex was saying. It's hard to get to one because you have strengths and weaknesses in what they're trying to convey, don't you, Alex?
You really do. If it's the Archaeological Bible, I'm thinking of Walt Kaiser was one of the editors. Bert, I know you've heard that name before. But we encourage you to collect good study Bibles, but even more than that, read them.
Amen. Well, listen, we'll be back tomorrow with more of 1 Peter chapter 3. Tune in. We'd love to hear from you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.